we're going to finish up in Psalms chapter 119. It's John chapter 15 this evening. We're going to finish the series we've been going through in the month of September. We've been doing it every Sunday mornings, but tonight we are going to do it the last one this evening. And tonight's message is believing to see the goodness of God during purging. Believing to see the goodness of God during purging. Now, the thought here and what we've been trying to drive home is that if we do not believe to see the goodness of God in our lives, we're going to quit. We're going to faint. Our theme verse was the one that was talking about when David wrote, I would have fainted if I did not believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And despite all the things that David was facing, that David was trialed with during his life, he says, look, I would have gave up, I would have quit, if I did not focus to see the goodness of God. And we preached the first message about seeing the goodness of God through his promises, and we went back to Caleb, and we went to Joshua, and we remember the story how there was the 2,999,998 people on the one side, the two people on the other side, and they didn't care what anybody else thought. They saw the goodness of God, they believed the goodness of God according to his promises, and they just kept on going. And that's what we need, some people that are going to believe God's promises, be challenged by God's promises. God says that if we go sowing, we'll come back reaping, and those different things. Then we talked in the following week about the potential, believing to see the goodness of God's potential. And we went through and showed how there's different Bible characters that God was able to use to reach people that nobody ever thought they would reach. And we talked about how I believe Stephen, as he preached that message. You know, he was standing before those religious leaders. I mean, their hearts were so hard. They put Jesus to death just months earlier, and that he had his opportunity. They were bringing false accusations about him. And you see that he does not try to defend himself. You know what he does? He preaches the word of God. And he just lays back and he rears in and he preaches the word of God. And you say, why in the world would he do that? There's a bunch of religious people there. Their hearts are so hard that no one would ever listen. But I think by that testimony and by that preaching and watching the way he died, I think Saul's heart was affected. And a few chapters later, we saw how God's potential even to reach probably the greatest threat to the Christian faith that day was Paul, and how God, because seeing God's potential, we got to believe to see the goodness of God, and how God used Stephen to reach Saul, and Saul becomes Paul. And who does Paul reach? He reaches guys like the Philippian jailer nobody ever thought would be reached. He reaches those barbarians that's on that little island. He reaches people like Onesimus. I mean, there is potential here. If we will believe to see the goodness of God in each individual's life, and we'll reach out to even those people that we would consider hard cases instead of giving up on them, and believe to see the potential that God has for every individual, that anyone can be reached. And that's why we preach that idea and that message to help us understand, see the goodness of God. With God's potential, anybody's life can be changed. I know some of your testimonies, and I know where my heart is and where my heart was and how full of pride. And God, if God can save me, he can save anybody. And in the story, if he can save a Saul, if he can save the Nicodemuses and the Joseph of Arimathea's and all this, you know, there's potential there. Do not just throw away that. Believe to see the goodness of God, even in those hard cases. You say, Pastor, I give up. I'm tired of it. You know what? Stephen, no one would have blamed him for just saying, he knew he was going to die. No one just blames that I didn't do any of those things. No, he preaches the word of God. He continues to plant that seed, believing to see the goodness of God's potential. We also talked about believing to see the goodness of God, and tonight we're going to look at this idea of purging. But we also talked last week about believing to see the goodness of God's providences or his providential hand. And we looked at the story of Esther and how God brought that peasant girl all the way to the point where she became queen. And even though she was queen, she was still fearful. And you know what? The whole nation was going to be wiped out because of a king's decree. And she finds out about it, and Mordecai tells her, which is his niece, but it was like an adopted daughter there. She says, look, you need to go talk to the king. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. If I do that, there's a good chance I'm going to be put to death. Everybody knows that if you're not called to the king, either he reaches out that scepter or you're gone. And you know what? there's a fear that's involved there, but we have to believe to see the goodness of God and His providences. He brought us to this moment, this time, for such a time as this, and He has prepared us and made us able and ready to serve Him. And that's what Mordecai says. Look, he says, who knoweth? Who knoweth? He said, saying to Esther, who knows if God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this? It was great. We were all excited. We didn't understand why the king picked you out of all those other women and why the king lifted you up to be queen. He says, but I can see God working all across the time and all across the way for such a time as this. Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes we have no idea why God has brought certain people in our lives. Sometimes we like to just throw them away. Sometimes we like to ignore them. Sometimes we like to get frustrated and upset with them. Sometimes we just don't like the providences God's given us, so we try to change them. But you know what? We need to realize that God has brought us here for this moment, and this time, and this day, and in this age. You say, well, I wish I was born back in the early 1900s. Things weren't so wicked back then. You know, God and His providence has brought you here at this time, this moment, for this day, with the physical talent you have, the physical abilities you have. I know some of you feel like I can't do much because of the fact I'm limited. I understand that. But God has enabled you to do exactly what He wants you to do. And that's His providence. You got to believe to see the goodness of God in that. The last one might be the hardest one, the toughest one, is believing to see the goodness of God during purging. Purging, what is purging? I know I used the word pruning a little bit this morning in the service when I was introducing the title of tonight's message, but the purging is what they use in the Bible here. And look here in John chapter 15. This is a famous passage of Scripture. Jesus is on the way to the garden to be arrested, to die for our sins. He does not think of Himself here. These are last moments He's teaching to His disciples. These are important topics, discussion here. You know, if you know you're going to die the next day and everything's going to change in these disciples' lives, these are important things. What is Jesus teaching these disciples? And here it goes in verse number 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you accept. Ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's have a word of prayer tonight and ask the Lord's help. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. I pray that we understand who the husbandman is. We understand who the vine is. We understand that we're the branches. And Lord, that in your control and in your way and your timing, there's times you have to bring things into our lives to make us able and capable of producing more fruit and bringing more glory to you through it. Help us to be patient in it. Help us to understand that you're doing a work, and we have our hope in you and in your promises, and that we believe to see the goodness of God in the circumstances that we're going through so we can bear fruit. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There really isn't that much of an outline tonight, just some different thoughts here. We're supposed to bear fruit. You say, bear fruit, what does that mean? You know, am I supposed to be producing some type of apple? Am I supposed to pull a pear out of my ear? You know, no, that's not what it's talking about, bearing fruit. I think when the Bible talks about bearing fruit, it's referring to two different things. First thing, I think the Bible is clear that if we will bear fruit, meaning that we bring people to Jesus Christ, we win people to Christ, that we introduce people to Christ, we show them their need, and we bring our inner sheaves. We sow that and we reap that. I think that is an important thing. I think it's secondarily also, he's talking about bearing fruit, it's about producing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. I think the Bible tells us, look, if we abide in Him and He abides in us, we will produce the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, if we allow Jesus Christ to live His life through us, then we will have these fruits. And the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And when it's talking about here in this passage of Scripture, and it says the word abiding, it means that we relax in our relationship with Him. It is a time where we just rest in Jesus Christ and every part of Him. We are resting in Him. We are relaxing in Him. We are facing every issue and everything. We are just going with Him. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that has all the power. He is the one that's giving leadership. He's the one that's giving us direction. And He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's what it says in verse number 5. So the first thing I want you to think about is, as a Christian, we are supposed to bear fruit. If a Christian is going to bear fruit, though, there is going to be times when we had to face purging that is orchestrated from our Heavenly Father. Look what it says in verse number 2 at the end. It says, every branch that bear fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There's some things I do not have a lot of knowledge about. Actually, there's a lot of things that I don't know that much about. Pruning plants, I have never done that. I've seen it done. My wife, sometime with her rose bushes, she'll take some of the buds or the flowers and she'll pick them off or she'll cut things back. And I don't understand why. At least I didn't before I asked her. She says, so that way it can come back fuller. It can come back greater. Sometimes I like my wife's hair long. And sometimes when she goes over to Miss Kathy to get her hair cut, supposedly it's a trim. You know, she comes back and it's cut a lot shorter than I think it should be. And she, you know what they tell me? She says, we're just cutting the dead ends off so that way it can come back longer and fuller. I still don't believe that one, but I do believe, and I have seen before in the, how someone has taken a plant and has brought it back down to the bare necessities just for it to survive, so that it can come back stronger and it can come back fuller. I've seen trees that have intended to bear fruit and that they are so strong that they go out and they produce so many leaves with no fruit. And then the husbandman has to go in and do some purging and do some pruning in that tree's life. So that way someday in the future, it can be profitable. And this is the idea here that we're going to look at tonight, and hopefully we can understand, is that we are intended as Christians not to just sit back and relax and just enjoy Christian living. But not only are we supposed to enjoy Christian living, we are supposed to be producing fruit. We are supposed to be bringing people to Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be producing the fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are things that should be coming out of our lives. And the first thing I want you to think about is the Father. In verse number 1, it says, my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the husbandman. What is the husbandman? It's a vine dresser. What is the vine dresser's responsibility? It has the authority over all the branches. It can do whatever they think is important to be able to make that vine to produce more fruit. So how do we apply that to our hearts? How do we apply that to our lives? Well, we think about this. If God's the one in control, and God sees that we could produce more fruit in our lives if He brings this circumstance, if He allows us to go through these trials, and it's going to cause us to produce more fruit in the end, He is going to purge us with those circumstances to help us someday to produce more fruit. Why would He do that? Well, the Bible says in verse number 7, it says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. What is our purpose in this world? I believe our purpose is to bring glory and honor to God. He has made us. He has created us for fellowship. Now we are supposed to do what we can with our feeble, meager lives and say, okay, God, whatever it takes for you to get glory from this bag of dirt or whatever you want to look at yourself as and say, whatever it is that you take to come get glory from me, this is what I desire. I want you to get glory out of my life. And He sees and He looks at us and He says, look, you know, if we can just shave back some of this, if we can change some of this, if we can put more of this into the soil instead of more of that into the soil, you know what's going to happen? They're going to produce more fruit. They're going to produce more things for me. They're going to bring more glory to me. But sometimes that is hard and sometimes that's difficult. we see some of the Bible stories, and we see sometimes in the Bible stories, some of these guys need to be reprimanded. We think about David when he had that sin with Bathsheba. You know, for that year, he was miserable. And he was sitting on his throne, and he was quick to judge when Samuel told him the story about the guy who took the one sheep. And he says, "Thou art that man." He was quick to judge because David, the man after God's own heart, had sin in his heart and sin in his life. And God had to bring that out and bring that out in the open and say, "Here, look, David, this is going to be hard for you to have to deal with." He loses his son. He sees that he has over and over been afflicted by things. But you know what? It's going to help purge you so you can bring fruit again. You think about Peter, who amongst that fire, he denied Christ. He denied Christ three times, and he was moping. He went back to fishing, and then Jesus Christ came, and he asked him in front of the group of his peers. He didn't take him aside, and he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And he says, "Lovest thou me, and lovest thou me?" And that was a time of purging that he had to go through, and he had to help Peter understand, hey, you need to get your focus on here. You need to understand what's going on. You need to figure this out because I got something planned for you. And you see how many days later he's preaching a sermon that you see thousands of people get saved. I don't think he was the only one preaching. I think that the other disciples were there, but there thousands get saved. Why did he have to purge him on that Sea of Galilee? It's because he wanted to produce much fruit. He didn't want to leave Peter there with that guilt. He didn't want to leave Peter there just thinking. He wanted them to understand that, yes, sometimes things will be brought into your life, sometimes because of your own doing, and sometimes because God has a plan and a purpose. Yes, bad things happen to good people, sometimes to make us ready and able to help others later on, and sometimes it's just to get our focus on Jesus Christ and get our focus on God and get us running to God because we become too self-sufficient. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the Bible is saying here, look, God's the husbandman. He's the one that's in charge of the branches. You are His, according to what the Word of God says. You belong to Him. It says, "Ye are not your own." I'm glad that's in there. Because to be honest with you, some of us, we've got to say, well, you know what? It's my life. God's given it to me. I should be able to run it the way He wants. He should be able to trust me. No. He says, goes right out there and says, "Ye are not your own." He even starts the verse off by going, "What?" He's like, "What? Don't you know this? What? 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 You know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And that's not because of you, which ye have of God. And you're not your own. Ye are not your own." And that's what he's saying here, the husbandman here. The husbandman is the person that's in charge of the vine, that's in charge of the branches, and he has the right to go back and purge that branch because he's got a plan for you. And that's the idea here, that sometimes God allows things to purge us so we can be ready to produce more fruit later on. Now, is that fun? No. Living through a season of pruning or purging, I'm sure that you see what happens to the trees. It's not very pretty. Sometimes there's marks that need to be made on a tree that are permanent and they never leave. I think about the story of Job, and remember, righteous man, he was upright, he eschewed evil, he feared God. We talked about him this morning, but at the end he said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Why is that? Because he went through that pruning, that purging. I'm just telling you today, lay yourself on the altar. Give it over to God and say, "Lord, I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God even when the time of purging is coming in my life. I know it's a hardship. I know it's difficult. I know it's a season that I don't really want to face. But I believe in your providences, I believe in your promises, and I believe in your potential for me." See, this last one marks all three of these together. The providences, that God can actually direct. The purging reminds us of God's divine intervention. He has gone before us. He knows what we are going to be able to do in the future. He goes with us. He sees the beginning from the end. He is sovereign. He has a plan for our lives. He is in control. And He knows exactly what we need to have shaved away. He knows exactly what we need to grow. He knows exactly what it is that we need. And we need to believe to see the goodness of God and the purging times because of His providences. But then it's not just about His providences. You think about the potential that's given there. Without purging, we never reach our full potential for God. Without purging, we never ever be able to produce that fruit that we so much desire, not for our own glory, not for our own sake, but for His glory and for His help. Because of the fact that we can't do things on our own. It says in verse number 5, that last phrase, "For without me, ye can do nothing." I don't like that verse in the Bible. I like to say, hey, I can do some things by myself. Hey, I can teach a message on my own and still people get helped. I can witness on my own and still help make a difference. But that's not what the Bible says. And I got to believe that my potential with God can change the world. That's what Stephen did. He got back and he preached to that bunch of religious leaders that were so cold and so hard-hearted, nobody else would have even given them the time of day. They would have said, you can't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. He's like, no, I believe to see the goodness of God and His potential that He can change even their lives. And in that life, in that story, you talk about those deacons when they were chosen, that it says that many priests believed. You know, those cold-hearted religious leaders, they got one to Christ. So if you know somebody who is maybe caught up in religious cults, you know, you can have them one, they can be one also. And then also you see the purging is connected to God's promises. Look what it says in verse number 2. And it says at the end of it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There you got that word more again that we talked about this morning. Do you want more? Do you want more? Remember, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning days. Do you want more? It begins here. It begins in abiding with Him. Believing to see the goodness of God. Relaxing in Him. Going with Him. Despite the fact that there's some purging that's going on. There are some things that need to be sifted away in our lives. There are some things that we need to clean up. Some things that we need to say, okay, Lord, this is yours. If you want me to have it, bring it back to me. But God, this is a time of purging. We need to get rid of those things that are slowing our growth down and allow God to bring something great in our hearts and lives. I love verse number 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Say, Pastor, we read verses like that, and we wonder why we don't see our prayers getting answered. Well, there's some keys in this verse. Look, we're abiding in Him. That means we're good with where He has brought us. We're satisfied. We're relaxed. We're happy. We are just in fellowship with one another in communion. And my words, this is God's words, abide in you. That means not my own desires, not what I want, not the things that I want to try to get done, but the things that God wants done in my life. That is what abides in me. That's what stays in me. That's what makes me tick. Abides in me. He says, ye ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we ask things according to God's plan and His timing and His way, then you're going to get that answer to prayer. But here's the point. How do we get there? God's going to have to purge us some. He's going to have to take us through that refiner's fire some. He's going to have to say, look, if you want to produce the fruit that you're capable of, there's a time of purging that has to happen in your life. Now let's take our Bible to Psalm chapter 119. There's some verses here that I think is really good and enjoyable, goes along with our message. And I pray that it can help you to understand that I know that we face some difficult times. This summer, it's been a little bit tough on me and tough on our family. There's been different things that have happened. We're not complaining at all. But, you know, that's been a little bit of a time of pruning and purging, I think, in my own life. But then I hear stories about some of the things that you're going through, and I'm like, man, my heart breaks for you because I don't know how to help you. I wish I could. When I hear about sicknesses, or I hear about people who are taking care of those that are sick, or I hear about needs and disasters, and my heart, but you know what? I have to believe to see the goodness of God. And I tell you, that helped me get through the last few months and some of the strong times, the discouraging times, and says, you know what? I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God. I told a few people, I'm thankful that I'm done preaching about Joseph, because Joseph, you know, I had to say that God meant it for good. If I was going to preach it, I had to believe that. I had to live that. I had to keep on holding on, saying, you know what? God means everything for good. He can take everything. He can work it together for good. You know, I had to, if I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God and His promises and His potential and His providences and His purging, you know, I have to be willing to live through those things too. At the same time, I know you're experiencing certain things and going through certain things, but I want to encourage you to see the goodness of God through it all. This passage of scripture in Psalms, we're going to start in verse number 65 and go down to verse number 672. I want you to notice there's three times that the word afflicted is used. I think this word of affliction or afflicted is referring to when God has brought something into someone's life to afflict them, to be able to cause them to realize there's a change that needs to happen. Let's look here in Psalms 119, verse 65. The Word of God says, Thou hast dealt with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy word. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant. You know, what is David talking about here? I think he's saying, look, I believe to see the goodness of what You've done in my life. And if we're honest with us, we can look back on our lives and we can say, you know what? God has been faithful to me. As I've been faithful to Him, He has been faithful to me. There has been times of purging. There has been times of pruning. There has been times of hardships. There's been times where I didn't think I was going to make it through. But you know what? God has been good. I mean, we can say that. We can look back there and say, you know what? I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't see how God was going to work it out. But I can say in the end, He's been faithful to me. He's been good. And that's what David's saying. After the ordeal, after he's been afflicted, you know what he's saying here? He says, look, You've dealt well with me. You've been good to me. Verse 66, teach me good judgment. He's asking for the Lord to teach him good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments. Here's the first thing. This is before affliction. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, and now have I kept Thy word. He's saying, before You ever afflicted me, I went astray. I did what I wanted. If it was not for Your affliction, I would keep on being astray. But now, there's been a change in my life. But now, I kept Thy word. Now have kept Thy word. What happened? Because of the affliction, he was now interested in keeping His word. Keep on going. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. So he's saying, look, even though You afflicted me, I know that You're good. I know that You do good. Now please teach me Your ways. Teach me Your statutes. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me. And sometimes when we've been afflicted, sometimes people will cast accusations to us. People will lie about us. But I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart. He says, I don't care what people say. No one's going to turn me away. He says, I've seen what I've wronged, and I've seen what I've done wrong, and I've been afflicted for it, and I've learned to keep Your word. I'm going to keep Your precepts. He says, their heart is as fat as grease. He says, but I delight in Thy law. Verse 71, we see that this is what's during the affliction, what happens. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. See, before the affliction, I was going astray. Now, during the affliction, I am learning. He says, because of the fact that I've been afflicted, this has forced me to learn the Word of God. This has forced me to learn Your statutes. This is what's forced me to be able to understand where I'm at and see what I need from You. The law of Thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Boy, that's saying that somebody says that the Word of God is more precious to them than thousands of gold and silver. I mean, thousands of gold and silver. I mean, it's precious to them. Verse 73, Thy hands have made me. And here he's saying, look, God, You're the one that's in control. You're the husbandman in sense. You've made me. You've molded me. You've fashioned me. He says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Sometimes he's saying, I don't even understand myself. Sometimes I don't understand why I have this fleshly nature and why I am bent on doing what is wrong and I struggle. He says, look, give me understanding that I may learn from Thy commandments. Help teach me Your ways. Show me Your statutes. Help me understand. It says, and they that fear Thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in Thy word. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness have afflicted me. So the first thing we see is before the affliction, we were straying. Now, during the afflictions, we're learning. After the affliction is over, we know that God is faithful. We know that his judgments are right. And we know that we needed the affliction to begin with. I can be honest with you, there's been sometimes when there's things that happened in my life that I didn't want to happen. But I can look back now and say, that sent me right to God. I can say that there was times when there was needs that, whether it be financial or other physical needs, that I wish I never had to experience and go through. But now, after I was straying with those things, I learned about that, and now I know God is faithful. It's like on Wednesday night, a few Wednesday nights ago, we preached about running the race. And I preached that to the Master Cub kids, and I preached a different version of it here. I even taught it to the teenagers yesterday, their teen activity. And I talked about how we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And we talked about those saints. We talked about the stadium. How these men, like the Josephs and the Abrahams and the Jacobs, and even some of the women that's talked about, like the Rahabs and the Sarahs, they have ran their race. They've already faced the afflictions that they faced. They have run their race. They have finished their race. They have received their reward. And they have proved that God has been faithful. And that's what it's saying. When we're running our race, we need to understand that God's been faithful to them. Just like he was faithful to Joseph in the pit and in the prison and in Potiphar's house and in the palace, he was faithful to him. He's proven to us that he's faithful. And they have witnessed to us through his word, through God's word, they have witnessed to us that God is reliable and that God is faithful. And we now know that we can trust him. And that's what it's talking about, the affliction here. See, before I got afflicted, before God brought that in my life, before God began to purge me in this area of my life, I was going astray. I was doing what I wanted to. I wasn't doing what God wanted. I was doing what I wanted. And God brought that in my life. He afflicted me to show and teach me something. And when I was being afflicted, you know what? I began learning. I began searching. I began praying. I began to run to God because of the fact that there was something that was going on in my life that I could not handle. So instead of going astray, I began learning. And after I'm done, I look back and say, God has been faithful the whole entire time. He was right and he was just to let me go through that. So now as we close, you know, next Sunday starts our Bible conference. And the believing to see the goodness of God comes from that verse in the book of Psalms. It also comes from that testimony that Brother Campbell gives about his life. He believes to see the goodness of God despite the tragedy that happened in his life. He's going around the country saying, God is still good. Just like we heard Dr. Bishop say a few years ago, God is good. Even though he was facing a tragedy, even though he was facing things, a time of purging and pruning that no man would ever want to have to face. So, are you able to see that? Sometimes when things go bad and things go hard, we want to give up. And I know sometimes things have to change. When you're going through a time of affliction or going through a time of trial, there's sometimes some things that you may not be able to do. But the one thing you cannot do is give up on God. One thing you cannot do is turn your back on God. What we need to do is believe to see the goodness of God, even during that time of purging or pruning, whatever way you want to call it, as he is trying to whittle away those things in our lives to make us bear more fruit. As I mentioned this morning, when God was calling me to preach, there is a lot of things he afflicted me with. There are a lot of things that God was really working on my heart to get me ready to the point that I would finally surrender and say, Lord, I'll do what you called me to do. I said I was like an onion, and the idea that he kept on pulling back one little section at a time. And as I said, okay, Lord, he pulled back another section and pulled back to another section. So I got to that core part, that inside stuff. We don't mind worrying about the outside stuff. But the inside stuff, when he pokes at that, that hurts. The things that we are attached to, the things that are our pet sins, the things that we don't want to have anybody mess with. When he begins peeling that away, that's when we learn. But sometimes he has to bring things to our lives. But seeing the goodness of God says, I believe in his promises. I believe in his potential for me. And I know what God can do in the end through all of this. He can let me produce much fruit. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.